Why are we born if not to suffer? Hey, everybody. What's up? It's me, your host in suffering, Dangerous ASMR, and we are back with a little bit of a Dangerous-approved vocal warm-up for another suffering time. I don't even know what to say. This depth, going into lower and lower depths of hell, mining for the center of the earth into, like, if you're looking at quality literature, right, you've got, like, these bars. You've got, you know, the greats at the very top, mediocre shit at the middle, like, you know, then you start going down, like, 50 Shades of Grey, kind of. And then at the very bottom, where all of the rest of the books, like, wipe their feet to clean them off, is this book, this tier of literature, literally on the floor. I mean, I'm sure that this is this person's first language, but you would not think it was English, because here's the thing. It doesn't matter what your native language is. You know how to actually format a book, right? Like, we learned this. We learned paragraphs in, like, elementary school. Is this a glimpse into the future of teaching kids via Zoom? Because I feel like it is. Maybe he's a time traveler. Maybe that would excuse this absolute garbage. Maybe it's just too futuristic for me. Anyway. Oh, and if anybody is listening and you've commented this before, because I've seen this a few times, this isn't live. I'm talking to myself in my closet right now. And I'll soon be talking to David, the baloney-eating son of a bitch. So yes, I'm just talking to myself like the crazy person that the literature of this quality has made me. And also, I'm very high and slightly drunk, and it had to happen for this story to be read. Don't you judge me. And to be perfectly honest, if you are not drunk and or high yourself, if it is legal in your area and you are of legal age to do so, because I would never suggest someone do anything but obey the law, you should get that for yourself too, because you're going to need it. I wonder if he'll actually make it to USS Lunar Base 1 this time. I know we'll hear about it a few more times. I wonder if also breakfast in this chapter will be mentioned. Fingers crossed. I need to know if it's good or not. All right. Without further ado, let's suffer together, shall we, with Chapter 8, Saying Goodbye. It starts like this. Then David said, you know, you can't, I mean, he clearly can because he did, but I want to say you can't just throw a chapter in the middle of basically a paragraph. But he did. I guess when paragraphs don't exist, you can do whatever the fuck you want. Screw you, language. Goodbye, grammar and function. Up is down, left is right, cats and dogs are making love, and we are saying goodbye. And then David said, by Monday, Halloween night, I will be sleeping on the base station. Will you? Or will there be another couple chapters where you talk about whatever else you fucking feel like? Fucking kids these days, I bet. Like, how they keep getting on your lawn. You seem like the type. Man, that is quick. Then David said, you already said, then David said, but here we go. I know, I'm still not used to the idea of that yet, especially because it's Halloween. You know, I just thought about it. You're going to be like Spock on Star Trek. Wasn't he the first science officer too? Oh shit, that was Kim saying that, I think. Who fucking knows anymore? Fuck you, writer. David smiled and said, yes, he was. I never thought of it like that before. If you're wondering who's talking, it's me. I'm talking. Who knows? They're all blending together. It's like, imagine this, okay? They've all hit some kind of nuclear reactor, and they've all fused together like The Fly. You know, they're all Jeff Goldblum in The Fly, and they're all merging together, and it's horrible. That's what's happening. That's what's happening with my sanity, too. See, you fucking asshole who wrote this? This is what happens when you don't fucking show any difference between who's speaking. Oh, I can do it. Huh, I can guarantee if you're listening to this, you are having a better time than me. I need a drink, and it's soda. It's not even wine. That's the worst part. It's just getting downhill from here. And he's going up to the moon, but nothing, not good downhill, bad downhill. Like you're rolling downhill into a pit of feces. Like not easy. Bad. It's like rolling down into a stinkhole sinkhole. You know, you don't want to do it. Anyway, who the fuck cares who's talking? They're all talking. You know, I was going to eat breakfast. Of course you were. That's what he does every fucking chapter. If David hasn't eaten breakfast in a chapter, if you don't tell me, I'll be like, oh, but is my poor sweet David eating? I haven't heard about his bologna habits lately. Please. Tell me more about your breakfast, David. God, I've never wished somebody would embrace intermittent fasting harder than I ever have right now. David, stop eating your fucking breakfast. Get more of a life. Like, I love to cook, okay? I love food. But if every fucking conversation I had with people started with, like, yeah, I had breakfast today, eventually people are like, why you keep telling me about your breakfast? Like, shut the fuck up. Or they should. Nobody cares about your breakfast. If you need to hear this, stop. Unless they ask, don't tell them over and over. Fucking David. How about you talk instead about how you're going to space? Instead of just talking, how about you do it, you little bitch? Like me, continuing the crossover. It'll happen one day. Just like I'll go to space. Get off my back. I need some more bologna. Oh, let's see. I was going to eat breakfast like I always do. I can't do anything else. And go and say goodbye to my friends at school. Don't you mean like your students or your actual friends? Do you have friends? I doubt it. I bet he's fucking like talking to like posters on the wall. His friends, like one of those cats hanging on a branch. This is like, don't give up. He's like, oh, I'm going to miss you because you're technically not my poster and I'm not allowed to take you from the school. It's the best friend he's ever had, the fucking loser. Maybe he's going to go talk to Oscar Mayer again. Then spend part of the day there and then go out with you tonight. I think I will spend tomorrow packing everything I'm going to need at my new home. Then go to NASA for launch preparations. Wow, it sounds like you have it all planned out, replied Cheryl. Wait, I'm going to get to know you and then you're going to be out of my life. You know you can always call me anytime you want on my cell phone, said David. You have reception at the moon? Oh, really? Yeah. And I'll tell you all of the latest news. It will be great. That sounds like propaganda. All right, that does sound cool. However, it would be better if you were here, so we could go out together, though. Although I guess we all have our destiny or fate we can't avoid. Thank you for giving me the alternate choice of term, ma'am. Well, you know I hate to leave good company, said David. But I guess I've got to get moving. I'll see you tonight about 7. Is that okay? That's perfect for me, David. I'll see you then. Goodbye, Cheryl. Goodbye. We can think of another term for goodbye. What a failure. David left the restaurant. Remember, it was Red Lobster. Excellent choice. David, I bet he made her order off, like, the value menu. She's like, I'll have the steak and shrimp. And he's like, that's too expensive for my blood. That's after you went to the moon kind of food. We're more like, you know, soup and breadsticks type of I know, it's not even the Olive Garden, so there isn't even a soup and breadsticks. By that, he means he'll order the shrimp and the steak, and you can have his soup and breadsticks. That's David, okay? He's probably upset because he just found out Red Lobster doesn't serve hot bologna. David left the restaurant and hurried to his school to say goodbye to everyone. And I guarantee you, 3/4 of them didn't give a shit or even know who he was. When he got there, he went straight to the office. As opposed to taking a shit first, did he shit out his big ol' breakfast? Tell me what he ate. Did it feel as good going in as it did coming out? Please, David. Was it a circle-length bologna? When everyone saw him. Everyone? Who's everyone? You're being too vague. Everyone in the whole school, in the whole office, everyone in the room. Who's everyone? Just everyone in the entire universe. When everyone that ever existed saw him, everybody was bombarding him. Huh, one word, there's two. A bomb and a bard. Bombarding him. They're like bards, but they also throw bombs when they sing. It's a thing. They were bombarding him with all kinds of questions and bombs. After conversing a little while he went to his class to say goodbye. A little while. Okay. You have to have a comma. Otherwise, it says after conversing a little while he went to his class to say goodbye. And that doesn't make sense. If you mean a little while, you need a motherfucking comma. Otherwise, I don't know how to read this sack of shit. Anyway, after he did it for a little while, or a little while he went to class, he either conversed while he was walking to class, or after a while he walked to class. Either way, he fucking got there. No commas necessary. He doesn't need to be wasting any time. He's just back and forth. He doesn't have time for paragraphs, commas, periods, quotation marks, emphasis of any kind. It's a good old hurry up and wait. His talk keeps fucking talking, fucking running his mouth about the USS Lunar Base. I don't see a fucking base, David. Fucking take me there. Put up or shut up. Literally put up. Literally into the moon, and then we can kick you out of the airlock and you fucking die and we'll all be finished with this. Including Cheryl. She can do better even though she's incredibly stupid. No one's as bad as you. Good fucking God. Anyway. When he got there and his class seen him. That's it. That's the entire sentence. Oh my God, I hate you more than I even did in the last sentence. I thought my rage had capped out and then the entire sentence of when he got there, and mind you, it's not the right there, and his class seen him. I mean, I gotta admire the guts. No, the ability to fool yourself to the point where you think this is good enough to publish. They fooled me enough to buy it, but I realized it was bad. They probably didn't. And yet I'm the bigger idiot because, you know, I paid for this. Maybe it will go to English lessons. No, it won't. Everyone stopped what they were doing and jumped up and said, "Hey, it's the professor." They're like the Borg. It's all of them at once. Terrifying. David said, "Hey, everybody, sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to come by and say goodbye to everyone." Then everyone at once, again, they're Borg, said, "What? Where are you going?" I hope it wasn't an English class. It's not a question mark either. All at once. They just said, "What? Where are you going?" Why? Okay. They just said, "What? Where are you going?" You know, if this is the average intellect of this species on this planet, then maybe that's why he was chosen. But he was teaching them. Apparently, they didn't take English. He was the astronomy professor, so What, where are you going? Hopefully they know what the moon is. I don't have much faith in their education anymore. Billy stood up and said, oh, apparently Billy isn't part of everyone anymore. He's the only non-Borg person there. You're leaving us. Where you going? Wasn't he supposed to be a high school teacher? Everyone was stunned that Billy spoke outside of the collective. Oh my God, he needs need some tuning up on that hardware. It's not working. The Queen's gonna be pissed. Well, I received an offer I couldn't turn down from NASA. Also, I tell you honestly, I'm going to miss all of you.
Where are you going, Doc?
Asked Billy. Well, I'm going to be a captain on the USS Lunar Base 1. Oh, all of the class said, wow, really? Yes, I'm going to be the first science officer. You fucking told everyone else. We don't need to hear you telling the class. Please, if you're a writer, please, please, we don't need to see everyone hearing the thing we already heard the protagonist say. We don't need to know that they all in unison said, wow, where are you going? I mean, maybe if we're to establish that they're Borg, but that, I feel like they're never going to address the fact that they're Borg again, considering I made it up. So it's all kind of useless. All of the class said, wow, really? Yes, I'm going to be the first science officer, and I'm going to be gone for a very long time. We're first going to Mars for 6 months, and then off to Saturn's moon Titan. There we will be for a very long time, unless we get orders to go somewhere else. Then the whole class says, wow, that's cool.
Hey, you're gonna be like Spock on Star Trek, said Billy.
Yeah, that's what everyone is saying. So you're not unique. Stop fucking saying it. We all heard that joke before, you stupid asshole. Finally, I can tell you what a stupid little shit you are. No, he didn't. But he wishes. He wishes. You know, I'm going to periodically call and tell you all what projects we're doing. And about anything that's going on. And they're like, no thanks. We'll call you. I'm going to donate Zeus to the class, and you can watch us on the monitor here in class. I wanted to come by and say goodbye and get a couple of things. It's not a better grasp of the English language. Stop asking.
Mr. Braymer, when are you leaving Earth and going to the base station?
Asked Billy. It's a question mark every time after Billy's name because they're not sure if it was Billy or not. The Borg is so confused. I have to be at NASA at 0900 Sunday morning for launch preparations. Then Monday at 0900. What day is it, kids? On Halloween. You can't stop fucking bitching about goddamn Halloween, David. Do you even know how to have fun? I honestly bet at Halloween, David enjoys giving out his single bag of dollar candy that he got. And then after, like, the first 15 kids have come and gone, he closes his windows and turns off all his lights and secretly hates Halloween for the rest of the night because kids keep coming up to his house and he's out of candy and he already spent $1.89 and he can't be expected to spend more money on candy. And why are those stupid Gen Z kids so freaking greedy anyway? In his day, kids were happy to receive a warm slice of bologna for Halloween while they cried in their bedroom all alone because mommy didn't love them, right, David? And she didn't love you for fucking reason, you pathetic loser. Okay. Anyway, it was on Halloween. My shuttle will take off to the base station. The whole class, it seemed at once, said, we know it's at once. You've told us a million times it's at once. Cool. Hey, Doc, if you need anybody else, just let me know. I will go. That will be so cool. That was the whole class, seemingly all at once. Borg confirmed. David had a big smile on his face because no one's allowed not to smile whenever they go into their dystopian workplaces now, and said, I do not know if they need anyone else, but if you study hard, you never know. I would be happy to have you aboard. You people go ahead and do what you were doing. You people, huh? Now we're you people. God damn it, David. Racist. I don't know what race you are, but you're racist. I will get a couple of things and be on my way. You know, I am going to miss you people. Really, you people, not you kids, not you class, not anything, you people. There's really many better choices. Boys and girls, literally anything other than you people. I was joking at first, but I'm kind of offended now. Miss you people? Really? Okay. You sound like a fucking little Christian kid in middle school saying goodbye to, like, their first mission trip in Africa. Oh my God, I'm gonna miss you people. And this school. I really liked it here. Man of little words.
Hey, Doc, are you scared of the shuttle launch? Asked Kathy.
Yes, I sure am. Because I'm a little bitch. Especially because it will be Halloween. Fucking bitch. Okay, I will go ahead, get my stuff, and be on my way. Fucking do it, you won't. David got his stuff and said one last goodbye and went home to pack his stuff. Then go out on his date. You know, for a second, I thought I'd read this chapter before. But no, this boring motherfucker takes her to Red Lobster again. The same place again. This sick motherfucker. He picked up Cheryl and went to Red Lobster and had a great meal. See, I know it's not the same because he didn't mention it was at Daytona Beach this time. So maybe he took her to a different Red Lobster, but they did go to the beach, so it's probably the same one. And I bet he sits at the very same booth and reads the same book over and over. Because any change is scary, unless it's going to the moon for some strange reason. However, maybe that's why he's not going. Maybe he's always talking about it for a million years. Because he's scared he's going to miss the fucking Red Lobster at Daytona Beach. That's his favorite. Okay. I kind of remember my last advice where I shit all over Red Lobster. Take that and double it. If you take your date to the same fucking chain restaurant the next day, unless they specifically have told you they love that place, you are bad at dating. You are bad at dating. Stop it. Stop it. People like variety. They are not your grandmother that wants the same fucking sandwich every day, okay? Unless they tell you, this is what I am like. Unless they specifically request it. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. But oh my fucking God. I don't remember Cheryl saying, hey, I only like Red Lobster. I'm allergic to every other food that's better, which is pretty much everywhere else. No offense, Red Lobster. Not sponsored. Yeah, Red Lobster gave me crabs. So I'm never going back. Anyway, they went to the beach and parked.
You know, I have not gone on a date in a long time. I'm guessing it's Cheryl. Who fucking knows at this point? And you know, I am having a great time.
Who forced you to say this? I feel like you're under duress.
I am having a good time too, and that dinner was fantastic. I am sorry. Oh, I'm sorry you're leaving. I wish you did not have to leave so quickly.
Yes, I know. This is a little overwhelming to me, too.
I still cannot believe.
I've got this. It's David now. I still cannot believe I am doing this, because it should be Cheryl saying, I can't believe I fucking am doing this. I want a fucking date again with you at the Red Lobster. I should have left when I saw you pull up, and I should have been like, drive me home. We're not doing this again. Like, no, she should have said,
I can't believe I'm doing this. I cannot believe it either, replied Cheryl.
This is like the first date of my fucking nightmares. where you're just talking about, like, the most inconsequential, boring, like, honestly, like, I would rather clean the shit out from under my nails than have this conversation any further. Like, it's way earlier in the day than I would normally ever drink, but oh my God, I have to spend a whole hour with you, David. Fucking Red Lobster again. I have standards. I demand Olive Garden for my second date. Yep. And they're having a great time just repeating what the other person said back and forth. Just fuck already. God. He didn't even pull out the, like, this is my last night on earth, baby. Like, how did you not? You had the perfect fuck. You're like one of the only people who can say, I'm an astronaut. I'm going to the moon tomorrow. This is my last night on earth. Feel earthly pleasures with an earth woman. Like, what the fuck? You just play that shit up. Cheryl's totally ready to fuck. Listen to the voice I gave her. She's totally DTF. She's got the DTF voice. She sat through a Red Lobster dinner with you twice, and I have never heard her say she loves Red Lobster. She was willing to sit at your favorite restaurant, David. Clearly, you don't give a shit about her, so we all know if she fucks you, she's not coming. If she does, it's not by your hand. Like, She has low-ass standards, and you could clearly play into this, but instead, you are so pathetically dumb, you don't even realize that she's basically offering it to you on a Red Lobster-sized platter. Then David... Oh, wait, let me see. Are you sure you don't mind me calling? Not at all. In fact, I'm looking forward to it. Then David looked at Cheryl with a serious look on his face. Oh my God, not a big smile. And leaned into Cheryl, literally into her. They merged as one. And Cheryl leaned in and they kissed intently. Wow, what was that? Oh my God, she's never been kissed before. You sick son of a bitch. How old is she? Oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. No, that's all right. I really enjoyed it. It's just that I haven't kissed anyone in a very long time either, and you know, I liked it a lot. Would you like me to do it again?
Cheryl got a big, sexy smile on her face, the difference between work smile and fuck smile,
and said, you know, I believe I would.
I do declare. She leaned in toward David, and they kissed passionately for about a minute and then stopped. Wow, what a hot way to end that. Ooh, for about a minute, you don't say. Hot under the collar now. Like, you can't say anything other than about a minute and then stopped. Just stopped abruptly, I like to think. He had some food in his mouth still, and it went into her mouth when she was kissing him, and she just stopped, recoiling, then put the fact that she recoiled, but that's, it has to be. That's the only way anyone ever pulls away from this, David. Recoiling. It's out of habit. He just sees it as pulling away now because he's so used to people recoiling. He just sees it as a normal gesture. He's not aware of how repulsive he is. And they won't tell him over at the Red Lobster that he tips too well. All right, chapter 9. We ended with a minute of kissing and then stopping. A disappointment like this entire book. Let's read chapter 9 and hopefully then I can finish, wash myself, and think about how I'm choosing to live my life. The shuttle launch. Will it launch or will it just be David talking about how cool it will be when the shuttle finally launches as he eats his breakfast? They were both... Oh, look, we left exactly at the last minute they stopped kissing because he doesn't know how to end a chapter. Just shoves it in there like he would with Cheryl. Just say no, Cheryl. Don't do it. They were both secretly thinking about what they have been missing in their lives. Then David asked Cheryl, would you like to come to my place and spend the night? Cheryl gave David a funny but sexy look. Don't forget the sexy. And before David could say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. That's it, that stops there. Then Cheryl said, you know, I must be crazy, but I do believe I do, and then smiled. So what's the funny but sexy look if it's not a smile? Then what is it? Show me. Show me your best funny but sexy look. That's not a smile.
like, funny looking. Like, it looked like she had to fart really bad, but in a sexy way. David couldn't believe she said yes. Yeah, me either. She's in for a disappointment. If it's anything like the rest of this story, a big fat fucking, like, she'll already know it's not going to be good, but it's worse than she thought. Just like this. Like, everyone's signing up for my Patreon. He got the biggest smile on his face and kissed her one more time and said, "This is turning out to be the best night I've had in a very long time." Cheryl said, "Me too." And they left the beach and went to David's house and they made passionate love for a very long time. Everything's a very long time, so I'm guessing for him, it's like a minute, 5 minutes. The next morning when they woke up, period. They woke up staring at each other. They're staring at each other. They're just throwing stars at each other with a big smile on each other's faces. I like to think she just put it on his face. He put it on hers. They're just putting stickers all over each other. They're starring each other, and then they put smiles on each other's faces. It's just a weird ritual, a post-sex ritual to keep STDs and babies away. Babies being the worst STD. Keep it away. Yeah. And Cheryl said, "I had the best time last night, and now you're going to leave me, just like my stepfather." Then David said, "I know before, all I was going to just miss was my students, and no, I'm going to miss being with you." He's having a stroke again. But again, that's the best they could do. "I haven't been with someone like you in a very long time. I had so much fun with you last night, and making love to you with you was so beautiful. I will remember it always." Cheryl gave another sexy look. Oh, she gotta take a shit. At David and said, "You know, I don't have to be at the restaurant for a couple of hours. What do you say about going one more time around the world?" Then David said, "That sounds fantastic," and leaned over and started kissing Cheryl. And they made love again. "You know, David, I..." Wait, they made love again and then it just stops? You gotta go into more detail. That's... whatever. Thank you for saving me from description of David's baloney pony. "You know, David, I can..." Oh, "You know, David, I can call Marcia and see if she can fill in for me today, and I can spend the rest of the day with you if you want." David said, "What the fuck, Cheryl? I'm not made of cum. I've already cum like 7 times today. My dick is chapped." David said, "I'd really like that a lot." Then Cheryl called Marcia and made arrangements. "Thanks for fucking telling me more of your bullshit details. I wanted to hear how big his dick was, but you skipped over that. But you'll tell me about his breakfast plate. Goddamn. That's so rude." Anyway, then they made love some more. I feel like this is him describing the night after the fact to his friends. "And spent the day together. They had a lot of fun and then stayed Saturday night together and they made love most of the night. Did they ever sleep? That sounds exhausting. That doesn't sound fun anymore. In fact, when David woke up by the alarm, they were both very tired." Wow, what a good fucking decision, you idiot. "And she gave you herpes." They both got dressed and then decided that Cheryl... They both decided? Like, who decided at first? "And then decided that Cheryl could drop David off at NASA, then take his car home, and then take a taxi to the restaurant. When they arrived at NASA, they kissed passionately for about 5 minutes. About? You're not sure how long? 4 minutes and 48 seconds. And Cheryl started crying and said, "I'm going to miss making love to you." Good to know that's exactly why you care about me. It's the dick. I mean... yeah, you will, bitch. But also, what the fuck? I'm more than just my awesome, amazing, sex god, powerful, orgasm-giving abilities. Damn, I'm also a genius mind and an amazing friend. Calm down and start over and list them all. One of my good traits is being aware of all of my good traits. You should get better at that. "You know, it seems like my life is moving so fast that I don't know what to do. Oh, yeah, it's David, whatever. You know that it seems like my life is moving so fast that I don't know what to do. But I know the only thing in my life I regret is writing this stupid piece of shit, is leaving you. They kissed one more time. Mwah, not for 5 minutes. Was it for at least a minute? Did she come during the kiss? And Cheryl said, I hope you have a safe flight. We will all be cheering for you at the restaurant. Oh, and one last thing. You take good care of yourself. You're my rocket man. She's clearly high. They kissed one last time, and Cheryl left, and David went inside for his lunch preparations and his checkup. Oh my God, what are they going to say about... He's like, it burns when I pee now. They're like, Cheryl. He checked into Dr. Blue's office. Is he going to get some Blue's clothes? And took about 20 tests. Took about 20? Really? How many? Why? And was hooked up to a computer with electrodes all over him for about 3 hours. Lame. He can only kiss for 5, but he had electrodes on him for 3. I see what he really cares about. Then Dr. Blue's... Why'd you name him Dr. Blues? He was like, it's time to get a Blues Clue. He came and passed him on everything. Yeah, I bet he fucking was paid off, just like Lori Loughlin and her fucking kids in the rowing team. He knew he was healthy, though. He just had a checkup. Then he went to watch a video on the launch itself. Then he went to the launch psychotherapist for about 2 hours. And finally was sent to his launch quarters and watched a little TV. Tell me about the channels he flipped through. Did he scratch his butthole? And then he sniffed it and he's like, I should wash my hands. But he was too lazy and he just rubbed him on the fucking hotel sheets because he doesn't live here. Then he went right to sleep that night because he was so tired from making love to his own fucking ego all day. I'm sorry, with Cheryl all night. He wasn't even thinking about the shuttle launch until the next morning. I call bullshit. But when he woke up Monday morning and put on his new captain's uniform and looked in the mirror and realized what he was doing. But when what? But you just ended it and then you didn't tell me. What happened? It didn't say, and then he looked. It just said, and then, and he realized what he was doing, period. I guess we'll never know what happened when he realized these things. But when he did, he did. Then they helped him put on his flight suit and got in the shuttle. All of them got in with him. Good thing. You shouldn't be scared anymore. He has friends to hold his hands and change his diapers when he pees his little panties. He was terrified, almost at the point of shock, piss, piss, pissing himself. All he kept saying was, what did I get myself into? I'm just liking that. That inflection feels really real to me. He also kept asking his shuttle captain, Captain Briggs, is everything all right? All the way up to 0855, and Captain Briggs just kept saying, all systems are a go. David looked over at Admiral Benson, and he looked as cool as a cucumber. Then he couldn't say a word the rest of the launch, probably because they held him at gunpoint. They're like, I swear to God, one more fucking complaint, we are shooting you. They already have to sit there with the smell of his baloney all the way to the moon. Then there was the liftoff. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Ignition, full thrust. David griped the launch chair with the grip of steel. Not a grip, the grip of steel. He's got like karate grip, kung fu action. Then as the shuttle started sounding like thunder and a... Then as the shuttle started sounding like thunder and a lot of vibration... I'm just going to give you a comma there, because fuck you trying to end the sentence here. Captain Briggs said, Happy Halloween, NASA! And we started to move upward. It was looking like a perfect launch. NASA, we have liftoff, said Captain Briggs. All systems are a go. Copy that, Shuttle Eagle. You're all go down here. Course laid in and all systems look good. Roger that. You're on your way, Eagle. Have a nice flight. See you on the flip side, said Captain Briggs. Roger that. Over, answered NASA. I bet all of NASA did it in unison. David looked out into space with an awe look of amazement. Not with awe. He had an awe look of amazement, all right? Sometimes I'll read this story with an awe look of amazement on my face, like, really? $10? That's a little steep. The G-Force was right around 4 G's. Right around. Can't tell you how many G's, but about 4 G's. If they tell you exactly 4 G's, they could be sued by physics. Until they left the Earth's atmosphere. Not soon enough, motherfucker. Then David started to relax a little bit, relaxing those bowels. He doesn't care. They just have to sit with it. After that, it was smooth sailing. Oh, yeah. Laxatives are involved. As they headed toward the base station, he saw how huge Lunar Base 1 really was up close. Yeah, that's what it's like when somebody's not catfishing, David. That's what 8 inches really looks like. It was a 16th of a mile in diameter and an 1/8 of a mile long. Can he tell just by looking at it? Because it's an amazing power. Everything that he was watching seemed to be like a movie. Feel you. As they were coming close to Lunar Base 1's docking bay, he noticed how vast space really looked and how beautiful it was. He got so excited, because he's a fucking moron. I bet he peed even harder. Then he heard, "Shuttle Eagle, this is USS Lunar Base 1, do you read me?" That's the end of chapter 9. Wow, we're finally in space. And here's the funniest part to me. The actual getting on the shuttle and getting to space was part of a chapter, but talking about David's breakfast was like 8 chapters. It just shows that you write what you know. You write what you know. You know, this man knows breakfast. He doesn't know shuttle launches. He knows he'd be scared if he was in space and excited when he got to the moon, and breakfast tastes good. And hopefully, Drunk and Dangerous is more entertaining than reading this book would be on your own, because let me tell you, I am very rapidly losing my sanity, hopefully to the enjoyment of all of you, and we will be back next time, and hopefully I will see you right back here again if you hate yourselves that much, because I know I certainly do. Not you, me, you know. I hate me, not you. I don't hate, whatever. It's a thing. I only hate David. And Bologna and Red Lobster. The second time? That blows my mind. Do you have a coupon? It's like a coupon book, and that's why you're taking her? There's got to be some kind of reason. Does, like, your mom run it so you get a discount? Tell me the truth, David. Boundless disappointment. Same with me. I can't seem to end this thing. Anyway, I will talk to you guys next week, and I'll see you then. All right. Bye. Mwah. So stupid. So stupid.